Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 12, if you would. And I'm going to read 2 Samuel. I'm going to turn this little fan on here for a minute. Hebrews chapter 12. This is not the mean sermon. I don't know if I'm going to preach it or not. God, I don't feel right about it. Don't feel liberty about it. But maybe for, I don't know, who knows what reason. I may be wrong about it. And I don't want to preach anything that's wrong. And I'm capable of it. So you there in Hebrews 12. And I'm going to read 2 Samuel 7. And this is what God promises us. I've been dealing with this week questions about people who are saved. People who have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of them. They have God's earnest of their salvation in them. They have a new man inside of them. I'm using all these Bible terms to describe someone that is truly regenerated, truly born again. And the question came up this week, do Christians still sin after they come to the Lord? Do they still do it? The obvious answer is all you got to do is look around. Because churches are full of sinners. Okay? They are full of sinners. And so, what could happen is if you just don't know how God deals with it, if you're not careful, you might be led to think that Christians never sin, and what that's going to do is that's going to either set you up for a fall because you are going to fail, or it's going to set you up to lie about what you do wrong. And neither one of them are good. The best thing you'll ever have in your life is a guilty conscience. Best thing you'll ever have. That is the Holy Ghost of God bearing down on you because of what you've done. The Holy Ghost will get you. He's got me before. Sometimes it takes a little while. Sometimes it's instantaneous. Whew, oh man, shouldn't have said that. And that's how it happens. But if you don't have a right attitude about how God deals with the sin of a born-again saint, how God deals with it, if you don't have a biblical attitude about that, it will. It'll either set you up for a fall, or it'll set you up to be a liar about what you do. And I've run into both types of people. People who make everybody think that they're better than them, and they don't do anything. How can they do anything wrong? They're saved. Why would they do anything wrong? And it just sets up a whole thing where they pretend that everything is okay with them and they do everything right, but the truth of it is they're not. I would just rather not pretend to everybody if I'm not feeling well physically. I don't like to pretend that I am. Okay? If I'm not feeling well emotionally, and I have those days where my emotions are just running all over the place, I don't like to pretend I'm fine. Really, I am. Really, seriously. I don't like to do that. Okay? Spiritually, I'm not ever going to get up here and tell you how good I am, what's the matter with the rest of you. I'm not going to do that. So what is the answer? If God really saved us, and He's going to take us to heaven, how then does that give us a license to say that we can do whatever we want to do, think however we want to think, say whatever we want to say, go wherever we want to go, do whatever we want to do? Does that give us a license? And the answer is there is no such license, because God has a remedy for the Christian that sins. God has a remedy for it. It's the same remedy that your mom and daddy used. They learned it from their mom and daddy, who learned it from their mom and daddy, who learned it from their mom and daddy. If you think you had it tough growing up, those of you, let's say, who are below the age of 40, if you think you had a tough time growing up, consider how your parents and grandparents grew up when there was no stigma against spanking a child whatsoever. Okay, and some of you older folks can go, yep, we had it all. We had the switch, the belt, the razor strap. You know what that is? It's that little strap hanging on a barber's chair. He polishes that razor up and gets it ready. Razor strap, stick, whatever Papa had in his hand at the time, that's what we got it with. Okay, that's the remedy. That's the remedy. Because I've kind of grown up over the years. When we first had a school here at our church, we put it in our school policy that if a child misbehaved after such and such, that we give them a whipping. And I was a long time ago, and boy, I was eager to whip kids back then. We live in such a time right now that I changed that, and I said, there's no way in the world I'm touching somebody else's kid. No way in the world. I've done learned. You touch somebody's kid, I don't care what kind of Tasmanian devil they are. You touch somebody's kid nowadays, you're setting yourself up. That's the sad part of it, but that's just how it is. And let me just say this. It's not anybody else's responsibility to train your child the Bible way, but it is your responsibility to train your child. And if you won't undertake that, you're going to have a little devil growing up in your house who will turn out to be nothing more than a big devil when they grow up. That's it right there. You can pin a lot of what we're seeing going on in this country, not to the kids, because kids didn't know better. No child ever went to their mom and dad and said, I stole from the neighbor, you need to whip me for that hard. 3 licks won't cut it this time. I need at least 10 to 12. No child ever said that to their parents. That'd be a good poster for you to make on Facebook. Mama spanked me hard this time, said no child ever. Okay? If you will not raise your children God's biblical way, you're going to have problems. They're going to have problems. But the problems that we're facing in this country are not the kids' fault. It's mom and dad's fault who will not raise them God's way. They will not do what God said He will do. And this is one of the reasons why you do not find too many truly born-again people sitting in churches. Is that they have themselves rejected biblical parenthood with children on how to raise them and how to correct them. They will not accept that for themselves, therefore for their children. Therefore, they will not accept it for themselves. They won't let God touch them. And if they're sitting in a church and the pastor preaches something that scalds them a little bit, they're either going to raise a fuss and throw the preacher out, or they'll just go somewhere else where that stuff's not going on. And I'm telling you, there's plenty of churches out there where they won't touch you. They will not touch you. They will not preach anything that will hurt your feelings or make you feel bad about your sin. They won't do it. There's plenty of places to go. But I'm telling you, this is God's plan for dealing with His people. And I was just kind of going through this again. I've studied this many times. I've preached on it many times. But this last time I studied it through, I was seeing things there in the Scriptures that will teach you the result of what God is going to bring about when He chastens you. The promise that He made to Solomon, He made it to David, his father, but this is how God said He was going to do it. He said, I will be his father. This is 2 Samuel 7. I will be his father and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. Simply put, Saul was not a child of God. He simply was not a child of God. Solomon was. God had promised that Solomon was going to be like his son. He's going to be like my own son. And if I take him in, then I'm going to treat him as if he were my own son. And if or when he does anything wrong, if he commits iniquity, then I will do what a father does with his son. I'll chasten him. I'll chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. I want you to think of stripes in the Bible. We might get there this morning. But now we're in Hebrews chapter 12. Let's read that. Do you believe the Bible this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
You should. It'll help you. God's word is not meant to hurt you. God's word is not meant to destroy you. God's word is meant to help you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. Have ye forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth. Think about that word. Think about the word scourge. What does it mean? It's going to leave whelps. Today, that's a crime. They've made that into a doll. You can't leave marks on them. Oh, that's bad. I'm here to tell you, God's version of correction is different. Okay? I've seen parents take a soft hand to their child, give them a little boost up on the backside and say, don't you ever do that again. That is not chastening. Didn't hurt them. It didn't hurt them. When I was in seventh grade, quit laughing, Melissa. The teacher at Twin City Christian Academy told us if we didn't have the English assignment done by the next day, everybody was going to get a paddling in the office. I spent more time figuring out how to get out of that paddling than I did doing the homework. I hated homework. So I didn't do it. So I get up the next morning, and instead of spending time finishing up the assignment, I took 6 pair of underwear and put them on. And we had to wear corduroy pants, which gives you an extra 10th of an inch of padding. And sure enough, I get taken. She says, who didn't do it? Me and 2 or 3 other boys raised up. Boys. Raise their hand. Got to the principal's office. The only thing that I'm worried about is that, is he going to hear a different sound? I'll tell you, it worked. They used a plexiglass, clear plexiglass paddle over there. Sting, boy, I mean, it's sting bad. But it worked. And I had to make myself cry to act like, but it didn't hurt. Now, you young people, in case you're already thinking, yeah, that's what I'll do. Number one, most of the time your parents' judgment against you is going to be swift. Swifter than you can go change. Okay? Number two, I'm going to tell all your parents, check first. Just in case. But let me just say this. If it doesn't hurt, it doesn't correct. And just think about how rotten us people really are. That the only way to get us to do what's right is that God has to hurt us first to get us to do it. When we were out in Kenya, we were watching in Migori. We were standing on the balcony of our hotel room, and every morning a guy would come around. He had him a donkey leading him around. We just don't see a lot of donkeys here in America, okay? But that he had one. He was their beast of burden. That's what he was doing. He was carrying stuff. Couldn't afford a car, and they would lead those donkeys through town. They'd come up the little alleyway behind the hotel, and we'd watch them. And they would stop, and they found some grass, and they'd eat a little bit. And the guys would let them stop and eat a little bit. But every time those men wanted those donkeys to move, they took a stick after them and beat their rear end. I mean, hit them hard. You can hear it. Whap! Like that. That was the only way to get them to move. God made them that way. We use the phrase, stubborn as a Missouri mule. And we mean it. God designed them that way to be a picture of us, and the only way that God can get us to do certain things is He's got to hurt us to do it. That's not a shame on God. That's a shame on us. But it works, doesn't it? So he said, "He scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." And I want you to consider now what the Bible's trying to teach you, what God's trying to drive into your hard, stubborn heart. This is what God's trying to teach you. And I'm just going to say this once, and simply put, if you will let God chasten you, you are His son. If you will not let God chasten you, you're a bastard, and you will not receive the inheritance of eternal life. You want to spend eternity in the lake of fire, screaming in agony for all of eternity because you don't want one chastening from God one time? Is that what you're saying? Is that how your heart is? What you're saying is you will not let God hurt you. You will not let God chasten you. What you're saying is that you would rather spend eternity in the lake of fire screaming in agony for all of eternity, and it never lets up, rather than let God deal with you as His beloved son. That's what you're saying when you have a hard heart against God. Let's go to the Lord and pray. Heavenly Father, God, one of my biggest fears is that I'll turn a hard heart towards you, God, and I don't want to do that. I never want to do that. That's why, God, you have never provoked me to anger as a father. You never have. You've always softened me, chastened me, hit me hard. Because God, you know me and these people, they might as well know, God, I am hard headed. Stubborn, full of pride. And God, I am thanking you for dealing with me as a son. And God, I'm begging you, don't ever stop. And don't ever, God, let me get a hard heart toward you, ever. Because God, I know I got it in me. And I never want that. So God, deal with me and deal with these people, God, and show us, Father, that what results could be gained when you'll use the rod after us, God. Show us the benefit of it. Show us, God, that it really is, Father, for our benefit and for your kingdom's sake. And our joy will come at the end of it. Not during it, but at the end of it. So God, teach us as children, God, give us understanding, Lord, how it works. And God, let everybody listening to me today know and be convinced that they are in fact your child because you corrected him, because you scourged him, and you made it hurt. Teach us that, God, we pray in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you, do you believe the Bible this morning? Amen. Do you believe the Bible? Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'm not putting them on the screen. It's time for you to get your Bible out and open it up and look at it, read it with your own eyes, all right? Only the people, Michael's got it all worked out. He's got it worked out to where all the people that we stream to get to see the passages up on the screen. But you don't, okay? Because I'm going to make you learn these verses. That's what a teacher does, amen? The teacher don't just give them the answers. Teacher says, look it up. Find it for yourself. Give a man a fish, he eats for a day. Teach a man to fish, he'll never want to go back to work the rest of his life. Amen. Teach a man to fish, he'll eat for a lifetime. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 5. Are you there? Say amen. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart. See, this is an Old Testament, New Testament principle. It's in both Testaments of the Bible. They connect one another. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear Him. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through these verses and I'm going to show you what chastening, what results in chastening. Here's the result. Number one, in this verse, therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in His ways and to what? Fear Him. You want the fear of the Lord in your life. Can I hear you say amen? In fact, if you flip over to Isaiah chapter 11, you want to turn there very quickly. Let's just study the Bible, okay? I'm trying to hurry, and maybe I'll just slow down. Let's just teach it right, all right? Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, and there shall come forth a rod. Listen, look at that. A rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. That branch is what my grandmother told my mama to go out and cut off. Go out and cut you off a switch off of that tree. Anybody else's parents make them do that? Go cut your own switch. Good for you. Lord have mercy. Jimmy Carmichael and Roy. Why didn't it work? I mean, Sandy, bless her heart, she's just sweet as pie sitting over here. But I'm looking at Jimmy and Roy and I'm going, what went wrong? Oh, they're here today. Amen. Verse 2, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear. That's the seven spirits of God right there in your Bible. They're mentioned and listed out. The seventh spirit of God is the fear of the Lord. And I run into people all the time saying, oh, I don't fear God. Oh, I don't. God doesn't want us in fear. Fear's bad. Fear's evil. Why, fear just, it just kind of makes you cower under the devil. I read somebody said something like that. It just made me want to puke. I had a fear of my parents that when I did something wrong, my gut turned inside of me, turned inside out, and I knew for a fact I was in trouble. Because my mom and dad did not let it go. If I was told in church that I was getting a whipping when I got home, I got a whipping when I got home. Amen? Amen. If I was told if we was out at the store and mom didn't want a scene out there in the middle of the store, you're getting a whipping when we get home, I got a whipping when we got home. She didn't forget about it. I would pray. In that 1976 Spirit of America Nova hatchback car that she had, that on the way home, she would forget. She never forgot. Not one time. She didn't have to go get a switch. She took my belt. That was the 70s. We wore belts that were that wide back then. And she took my belt off me and wore me out. But it made me respect her. You know what problem is with most kids nowadays? They don't respect parents, therefore they will not respect authority. Am I right? Am I telling the truth, Edward? This man back here will tell you what's wrong in Ferguson, and it's what's wrong in Jefferson County, and Reynolds County, St. Francis County, St. Louis County, every place in the world where parents, doesn't matter if they're white or black, when they will not correct their children, those children grow up, hate authority, and despise authority, they despise government, and that's why they do what they do. And I want to tell you something. You will not like God touch you. That means you despise His authority over you. And you have no respect for God. You have no fear for God whatsoever. And you say, oh, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I did this and I spoke in tongues and I wallowed all over the floor. Obvious I'm full of the Holy Ghost. When you are full of the Holy Ghost, God's got you bent over with a rod laying stripes across your backside. Then you have the fear of the Lord in you. Somebody say amen. Well, this Bible is right. It's right in what it says. You won't let God touch you. You despise government. You despise God. And by the way, it's always manifested. When you despise earthly government, you despise heavenly. I have yet to see some old Jezebel in a church or a marriage hate her husband, hate what the preacher said, hate anybody telling her what to do, but she's very faithful to God. Never seen it. Chastening will bring respect. It'll bring the fear of the Lord. There's something else in here. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandment. God may have to whip you 20 times in order to keep from having to whip you the 21st. Because at some point, you learn, if I do that, God's going to mess me up. At some point, it clicks. Foolishness is bound in the heart of us, God's children. What drives it far from us? The rod of correction. That's what drives it far from us. Turn to Job chapter 5. Oh, this is one of my favorite passages in the Bible about whipping. About getting a whipping. About getting... Michael taught us in Kenya, they call it... I would get caned for that. Did I say it right, Mick? I'm going to tell him a story. He was walking one day, found a little place to go swimming. He was young. So he went, what we call... skinny dipping. Took all of his clothes off, went jumped in that pool of water. Dirty, nasty water. Of course, we used to swim to Joachim, remember that? Oh yeah, that's before we knew what they were doing in there, but we used to go swimming in Joachim. But anyway, while he was in there, somebody stole his clothes. Now that's the first whipping, as far as I'm concerned. Okay? But then his mama found out. He said, I got a caning for that. With or without the clothes? Without. Didn't do that no more, did you? Nope. Job chapter 5, verse 17. Do you know what the word happy means? I thought I knew and I looked it up. Does anybody know what the word happy means? Happy. Blessed? Yeah. Joyous? Okay. The word happen, H-A-P-P-E-N, happenstance. The word happening is related to the word happy. It means that you are. Listen to this. It literally means that all things do come out for the good. That's what it means. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. And what the word happy means is that you are satisfied with the outcome of events. So keep that in mind. Job 5:17, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Think about that now. Think about what happy means. I've never seen the kid smile while he's getting a whipping. Mine didn't. I never did. Okay? There's no smiling while you're getting chastened, while you're getting the rod or the switch or the belt or whatever. There's no smiling and laughing while that's going on. But afterward, when you grow up, you realize, my mom did the right thing. And am I glad she did it. Amen. You're glad with the happenings and you're satisfied that all things did work together for good. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. Look at verse 18. For he maketh sore, and then he does what? He bindeth up. He woundeth, and his hands make whole. Caleb, come up here for a minute. I already used Matthew for this. Come up here. Okay? This is my boy. This is my buddy. Okay? And I prayed, God, I want to love him just like he's my son. Because I'm going to have to correct him. I'm going to have to love him when I do it. How you doing, buddy? Okay. Now, look at him covering himself. Okay. Now, I'm not going to hit you now. Okay. But if I have to use correction on him, it stings. Okay. And you know, he has taught me, God used this man right here to teach me a lot. Because I then have to take him and I have to comfort him. And I have to hold him. Same hand that I used to whip him with, I'm going to use to tickle him with. Okay? Thank you, Scooter. Because when we receive a wound anywhere on our skin, you know what the best instantaneous remedy is for it? God designed it. There's a chemical thing in here. I think it releases endorphins. Rubbing it releases endorphins, which is related to morphine. Painkiller. And whenever we get injured, first thing, it's instinctive in us. We don't even have to think about it. We don't have to read a manual. Now rub gently after receipt. We don't have to do that. It's like this. That's God's hand, by the way. That is God's hand. When the Bible says that He maketh sore, but then He binds up. He woundeth, and His hands make whole. Same hand that God used to chasten you. Watch this, watch this. The same hand that God used to chasten you, He uses to heal you. This is the right hand of God right here. It's the book at the right hand of God. Isn't that something? Same thing that God uses to get you with. He binds you up. And parents, I'll tell you this, parents. I'm not telling you. You raise your kids how you want to. If you want to turn out little devils, let them turn out to be little devils. But when you chasten your children or your grandchildren, be sure you love them double at the end of it. Okay? Give them a double portion. I prayed what I prayed a while ago because it came to my mind. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger. You can, under the guise of correcting them and disciplining them, you can ruin those kids and they'll hate you for life if you don't do it with the right attitude and the right heart. There are stories all over America, I'm sure there's all over the world, of overzealous fathers or abusive fathers who simply inflicted pain on their children when they were irritated, when some little smallest thing happened. That is abuse, and the Bible addresses it. It calls it, Father, provoke not your children to anger. Provoke them to love. Take that hand, and if you've got to use it, use it. But then, afterward, love them double. Bind it, and make it whole again. That child will follow you to the ends of the earth if you'll do that. Is the Bible right? Say amen. And then Proverbs 3:11, he said, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. So number one, chastening equals a fear of the Lord. Number two, chastening equals happiness. I promise you, you will be satisfied with the results. Not you as the parent, you as the child. If you let God chastise you and correct you and hurt you, you will be satisfied with the outcome. I like my life because of how my mom and dad dealt with me. I'm not going to show up on Dr. Phil or Maury Povich or any of these other talk shows and tell you about all my problems stem as a result of how I was abused when I was a child. Not going to happen. I'm happy and satisfied with what my mom and dad did. I wish now that I would have told them more. I wish now I would have. I wish now they would have got me for things that I got away with. Okay? Job chapter 34. Turn there. Boy, I like this one too. Job 34. That's a good sound in a church, ain't it? Pages of the Bible being turned. That's a good sound. That's something you don't hear anymore. Job chapter 34, look at verse 30. He's warning us about a hypocrite. It said that the hypocrite reign not, lest the people be ensnared. And I want to tell you something. I think America needs chastening. And let me just throw this out to you. Maybe, just maybe, God considers America His son. Just maybe. Wouldn't it be a blessing if God chastised this country and brought us back to righteousness?
Amen.
Well, wouldn't that be good? I think we need it. I sure do. I think our country needs it. It's got, and it starts in the church house. But you know what? They're running ads all over TV now. They're going to elect a governor in Illinois. And I'll tell you something. There's an election coming up here. And there's too many politicians I don't trust anymore because they're hypocrites. But you know what? And we have exactly what this Bible says. We have hypocrites reign over us. They'll say anything they want you to hear till they get in office. Then they'll just do whatever they want to do. Both sides do it, by the way. Amen? That the hypocrite reign not, lest the people be ensnared. Verse 31, surely it is meet to be said unto God. Meet means it's right and appropriate. Meet to be said unto God, I have borne chastisement, I will not offend any more. Would you look at that? That which I see not, teach thou me. If I have done iniquity, I will do no more. Boy, that is powerful right there. So you know what this is? Chastening equals learning how to stop. Learning how to stop. Learning how to quit doing what you're doing. He said, I borne chastisement. You know what he's saying? I took it. I took the whipping. I took the beating. I took the punishment. I will not offend anymore. That which I see not, teach thou me. No, your child will not understand about jumping up and down on the bed. They don't understand it. All they see is, this is fun. How come my parents aren't doing this? They don't see any number of things can be wrecked in that room. They don't see that one bad bounce, skull fracture, or death. They don't see it. So a good son of God will never say, well, I don't see anything wrong with that, and then stop right there as if because they said they don't see anything wrong with it, that there is in fact nothing wrong with it. They will say, God, I don't know everything that's wrong with me, and I don't know everything that I do wrong, but I'll let you teach me. I'll let you teach me. I got a ticket one time going through a place I thought the speed limit was 55. I thought it was. You know what it was? 30. That's how fast I was going in a 30 mile an hour zone. And I said, I didn't know how fast. I thought the speed limit was 55 here. He said, no, it never has been. What a way to find out. Rest assured, I don't do that no more. Those of you, and I want you to listen to me, real carefully. Those of you who have a repetitious issue in your life, let God chasten you. Because that's what it's teaching here. Chastening means God's going to put an end to it. God will do it because you can't do it yourself. So he said, I have borne chastisement, I will not offend any more. That which I see not, teach thou me. If I have done iniquity, I will do no more. And this is why I suggest that as a good parent took their child and made it hurt, that's what God will do to you. God will hurt you. God will make it hurt so sore and so bad that it will change your mind about your iniquity and about your foolishness. The rod of correction will drive it far from them. That is a guarantee from the Word of God. So I don't think, as pastor, that it's my responsibility to go around checking on all my people to make see what they're doing with their lives privately. That's not my business. It's not the calling that I have in life, and you'll despise me for it. You'll think that I'm just trying to get power over you, and any pastor who does that, that's what they're trying to do. But I don't have to worry about what everybody here does when it's not Sunday anymore. Because if you're really a son of God, God's going to get you. God will put a stop to your nonsense. God will put a halt to it right then and there. And if He doesn't and lets you keep doing it, what does that tell you? That's between you and the Lord. And if you need it, let God give it to you hard so you'll stop. Is this Bible right? Turn to Psalm 94. Psalm 94. I got a little ways to go yet. I'll probably make this the last thing for this morning. All right? Psalm 94, verse 11. Look at verse 11. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are what? Vanity. God knows how you think, doesn't He? Just like moms and dads, what is it when we're all at home, and all of a sudden you don't hear the kids anymore? What's that make you do, Melissa? Go look. Why? I don't hear them anymore. That must mean they're up to something. Every mother does that. Amen? Every one of them does that. They know, and then they find out, what are you guys doing? It's not quiet anymore after that. No silence there. And I want to help you with something God helped me with a long time ago. Joel Osteen, and if there's 100 preachers in America, 98 of them are following this same mindset. That you can change your sinful activities by changing your brain and changing your mind and just think happy thoughts all the time, and then everything will be cool and it'll be okay. That has ruined the church in this country. That happy thoughts will produce happy people, and they don't do anything wrong anymore. It doesn't work. It's not right. Because God made our brains and our thoughts. He knows what we think. He knows we're incapable of thinking right things. God knoweth the thoughts of man, that they're vanity. So here's what I'm saying to you. You have never impressed God with any of your thoughts. Never impressed Him. So God, knowing that children are going to be disobedient, it doesn't take Him by surprise when it happens. God knows it. God knows you. God called you despite knowing you. He called you to be His sons and to be His children. And He did so out of love. And so don't think, just as we don't expect, I think it's wrong for a parent to assume that they can raise their children in such a way as that they'll never do anything wrong. I think that's not a good idea. I think it sets the parents and the children up for a big fall one of these days. So I'm not a big fan of that. I don't, and you hear from people. You know how you can tell that there's a parent that really does think that their children don't do anything wrong? You know how you can tell? They'll start out saying, I know my children are not angels, but now they're going to talk about somebody else's kids. Normally, that's a woman or a man who thinks that their children can do no wrong and that it's everybody else's fault. And if your kids hadn't infected my kids, then my kids wouldn't be bad. That's wrong. You're not raising little angels with wings. You're raising little devils who have foolishness bound inside of their heart. And they are not just going to turn out okay, left untouched. It's not going to happen. God knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Verse 12, it says, blessed is the man whom thou chastenest. O Lord, teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not, underline that in your Bible, the Lord will not cast off His people, neither will He forsake His inheritance. So notice how God connected them together. He connects His people with the inheritance, which is eternal life, with keeping the law, Ten Commandments. Then He connected it to giving them rest, which is what happens when we die. And He connects it with verse 12, a blessing. Blessing is always a salvation word. If God blesses you, you are blessed. You are an inheritor of eternal life. That's the blessing. If you're cursed, you're going to hell. See how it works? If you're cursed, you go to hell. If you're blessed, you go to heaven. Turn your Bible to Psalm 32 very quickly. And I'll show you that. And here's the point. Chastening equals blessing or salvation. Psalm 32. Look at verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. You see it? Blessed. He's blessed if your transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. That is describing a blessed salvation recipient. He then said, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. By the way, there's a teaching in the Bible. I don't understand it. It has to do with the bones. And I don't quite understand. I've got I got verses here that I skipped over because I don't understand them yet. But it's in your bones. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. Verse 4, my moisture is turned into drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sins. For this shall everyone that is what? What does that word say? Godly. Pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. If you want to be blessed, if you want to be saved, if you want to have the inheritance of eternal life, if you want God to forgive your sins, then let God chasten you. And I've encountered people who say, I'm mad at God. Why? Well, somebody died and I'm mad at God for taking their life. God didn't take that. I'm mad at God. Maybe God took them to hurt you, to chasten you, to bring you to Him. Maybe God did it that way. In fact, I'm thinking of a situation right now that I know of where God took a man out because of the sins of his family. And this, by the way, this man's in heaven. God wasn't killing him just to put him in hell. God took him out of their lives for a reason. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to hurt. And it should hurt. And if it didn't hurt, God ain't done. But He's going to keep doing it until it hurts you so that you'll confess and you'll repent. My first whipping in school, fifth grade, over here at Festus Elementary, back when they still whipped kids in school. And this teacher, Gary Brown, he and I became good friends after that. He and I were so close, he had me sitting by his desk nearly the whole year. You know why? I couldn't keep my mouth shut. I just kept talking and talking and talking, and some of you are going, yeah, we know. And he told us we were going to go down the hall for a drink. He told us, when you leave this classroom, you better be quiet. Go down there quietly, come back quietly. As soon as I hit the door, I forgot everything that he said. And I went speeding off like Evel Knievel down the hallway. Rom, rom, rom. I mean, I was making the sound effects and everything. And next thing I know, he comes up behind me, 90 miles an hour, grabbing my arm. We walk down that long hallway to the other end of the building there at Festus Elementary School. Took me in the principal's office. And he had me bend over the principal's desk. And he took a wooden paddle that was that thick, if it was anything. And the first hit that I received, my eye shot out of my head. And I had such a look on my face, the principal, Mr. Moutre, that was his name, we called him Mookow, he was big, okay? The principal looked at me and went, he was startled at my response. That was just the first lick. And the second one, and the third one came. And I thought I was going to die. Did you know that after that school year, he transferred to a school in Texas, and he and I were pen pals for about 3 years after that. And even when I got to college, I found myself in Houston. I looked him up and went and visited him. He was one of my best teachers that I ever had. He was the first one that wasn't afraid to take me aside and wear me out. And that's blessed me ever since. If you'll let God hurt you, He will bless you. I promise you He will. He's not mean. God's not cruel. He's not some nasty God that's just waiting for you to... And by the way, God doesn't whip you for everything. Let me hear you say amen. Amen. He doesn't whip you over everything. There's another part of this where you can chasten yourself. God will accept that. By the way, moms and dads, don't whip your kids for everything. Don't do it. It's not good for them. Okay? Anyway, let's stand. I just ran out of stuff to say, so that's God telling me to shut up. Mike, you run your mouth too much.